This is Left Out on WRCT 88.3. You can give us a call at 412-621-9728. We're talking about political issues and whatever's on your mind if you give us a call. So another little bit of news from some of our local WRCT participants. One of the station DJs, Matt Toops, he's also one of the DJs who does Democracy Now! In the morning at 8 o'clock every weekday, or he doesn't do it every day, but it's on every weekday at 8 o'clock on WRCT, and he does it occasionally. And Matt is also producer for the Indie Media Rust Belt radio program here, Alternate Tuesdays, as well as other things on the website. Anyway, he's gotten subpoenaed for by the Department of Justice or the FBI or something, a grand jury subpoena about a website in New York, an indie media website in New York, where apparently they posted anonymous tips from people about some of the Republican delegates. And this has gotten the, I guess, the FBI excited, and they wanted to find out where this information came from and to put a stop to it and to threaten independent media groups. So they put out the subpoena, and the ACLU is fighting this and is coming to the defense of Matt and others who are involved in it. So that story is unfolding right now, and we'll keep you posted about what happens there.
So is it unlawful to disclose the names of delegates to political parties, to political conventions, or what?
It doesn't seem like it would be to me. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Voter intimidation.
Voter intimidation.
Yeah, those are the grounds.
But there was no voting going on. I mean, in the sense of the law. I mean, in fact, there was.
They were voting for who their nominee was, and they can. I don't know.
But that's not voting in the sense of the law. I mean, you and I could have a vote right now.
Yeah, right.
Whether we think John Ashcroft is just what sort of an animal is he?
yeah.
What does this mean?
Right, and so the ACLU thinks that the whole thing is basically a system for. Threatening people. The way of threatening, independent.
It's just
media,
an intimidation. Like
intimidation.
Well, that's really what I'm getting at. Yeah. I mean, since when is disclosing the names of delegates to the convention illegal? I mean, I know that is a rhetorical question, but just what law was being violated here?
Yeah.
It's not clear, but maybe it's not relevant. As we learned from last week, many people in New York were rounded up and arrested just to get them out of the way. With preposterous trumped-up charges.
Yeah.
Two counts of conspiracy to block traffic.
Block traffic, yeah.
Maybe we should have a political defense fund. Anyway, go ahead. Anyway, the next...
I don't know what stories you want to talk about next. Got a couple of things. There's a story unfolding about the CBS, the 60 Minutes self-censorship.
That I was interested in talking about is this ongoing scandal at CBS. Except that you probably all think I'm going to talk about the apparently forged documents, but in fact I'm not. The thing that that's really quite disturbing to me is CBS made an announcement in the last couple of days that. I think it might have been as long ago as Friday, but in the last several days, has made an announcement that they are going to shelve a story that they were planning to run in 60 Minutes, investigating the use of various materials in the information in the run-up to the Iraq War, in particular the use of these bogus stories about Iraq acquiring uranium from Niger in Africa and related. Related topics, which were just, complete nonsense, as we know. And they were complete nonsense at the time. And then now we know that they're absolutely nonsense. And that was used, of course, to sell America and parts of the world on the war. And they were doing an investigative piece. These things are quite rare in the mass media and the mainstream media, as we say, any kind of a serious investigation. They were doing investigation on this on this story, and they've now announced that they're going to kill the story. And here's
the
reason.
Part of the story was about the documents and actually tracking down the forgery, or who trying to track down where they came from.
Right.
I mean, they're forgeries, but they must have come from somewhere.
Well, can you say Douglas Feith? Can you say the Office of Special Plans? This was came directly out of the Pentagon, was fed back in my opinion. This was a closed loop. But that was one of the stories that they were going to start probing, I guess. That's a separate issue, but they were probing that. But the thing that's outrageous about this is, okay, maybe their story has merit, maybe their story doesn't have merit. I don't know anything about the merits of the story. I haven't seen the story. I don't know what facts they've uncovered. I mean, I know that it's quite clearly a fraud. Maybe they had something interesting to say. I don't care about that. But what is really important here is that here is their statement. They say, "We now believe it would be inappropriate to air the report so close to the presidential election." Now, let's let that sink in for a minute. I think there are two things to really point out. One is, "We now believe." So the question
they
is,
waited
we
on.
Now believe. So what does now mean? Okay, like what happened? Like what is going on that now they believe
it got later
that it could be
it got
inappropriate
closer to the election.
So it's not clear what this now
2 months
is
okay
about.
Or 6 weeks is okay, but
and then inappropriate to air the report so close to the presidential election. Now wait a minute. So this report was an investigation into the fraudulent claims of the Bush administration in perpetrating an illegal war. An attack on Iraq. It was a story that was completely fabricated. It was shoddily fabricated, hastily fabricated, in order to bolster the arguments for a predetermined decision to go to war in Iraq. And the CBS deems this that it would be inappropriate to air the report so close to the presidential election.
Because people might have the
5 weeks away.
They might have the facts.
As of today, as a matter of fact, 5 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, well, if it's inappropriate to air it now, when would it be appropriate? Like after the election? Or, you know, like
when it doesn't matter
totally
anymore.
Irrelevant? Yeah, when it's absolutely completely irrelevant? Or what? I mean, or what exactly is going on? Well, we know what's going on. I mean, it's not like there's any mystery to this. And the thing that emerges from it is, of course, guess what? You know, there are corporate interests at stake, okay? And I think this is the thing to look at. And there's a link to an article from Fair and Accuracy in Reporting regarding this story. So here's a quotation. Sumner Redstone, who you may know, is the CEO of the parent company of CBS, which is Viacom. You remember a few years ago, there was a game of musical chairs and various companies bought out various companies. And it wound up that Sumner Redstone owned the whole shebang through his company Viacom. So he made a statement at a gathering of corporate leaders in Hong Kong. This was reported on September 24th in the Asian Wall Street Journal. And I'll quote, "I don't want to denigrate Kerry, but from a Viacom standpoint, the election of a Republican administration is a better deal because the Republican administration has stood for many things we believe in, deregulation and so on." I would imagine that means for the FCC. "The Democrats are not bad people, but from a Viacom standpoint, we believe the election of a Republican administration is better for our company." And Redstone repeated these sentiments in an interview with Time magazine, the edition dated October 4th. So that's either the current or forthcoming issue of Time. And I quote, There's been comment upon my contribution to Democrats like Senator Kerry. Senator Kerry is a good man. I've known him for many years, but it happens that I vote for Viacom. Viacom is my life, and I do believe that a Republican administration is better for media companies than a Democratic one." So the only issue here is, and there's nothing surprising about Redstone's statement. I mean, no one could pretend to be surprised that these would be his view. It's obvious that these would be his view.
Yeah.
The only thing that's surprising is that he would say it so in such a forthright and open manner. Well, that's interesting. It says the Asian Wall Street Journal, but Time magazine seems to have picked it up, so that's good. But the point is that it's the boss the head of CBS. Or he's the head of the parent company of CBS. And it raises very clearly the question, or the idea, that, you know, CBS is shelving this thing because it's a story that could be, I don't know the content of the actual piece, that could be, you know, a considerable embarrassment to the Bush administration just prior to the election. And were that to be the case, and no doubt they believe that to be the case, that's why they're doing the piece, were planning to do the piece, would thereby be going against the wishes of the interests of their company as expressed by Sumner Redstone. So this is in itself is a small thing, except it's a huge thing. Yeah. It's a huge thing because it's one of a million such huge things that goes on every day, in my opinion,
yeah.
whereby the news is, there is no news, right? Where the news is some, you know, a combination of it's an entertainment, it's conflated with entertainment, A, and it's B, it's always being promoted by very large companies who have their own interest in saying how the news is presented. So famously, we don't need to even go, we don't even need to discuss the famous biases of faux news, which are represented by Rupert Murdoch. As one example. And they're, you know, they're a huge force in contemporary American news. I think they're generally regarded as the number one news source in the country. And it's perfectly obvious that they're nothing other than a wholly owned subsidiary of the Republican Party. And here we have, again, you may consider this comment from Redstone, you may or may not consider this to be a definitive statement of why it is that CBS shelved this story. And I have to say that I don't know that that's the actual reason why they shelved the story. But to claim that it's inappropriate to run this story so close to the presidential election is absolutely ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. So the thing is, the problem is that we have the following situation in the U.S., right? As far as our mass market news sources are concerned, this is all provided by private industry. Right, we have hardly any. There's a small amount through NPR, which has its own influences from the government
and from corporate influences as well.
Can't pretend that this isn't corporate influenced. Is one thing on the radio. On television, you have PBS, and it's the same story. And really, you have faux news, CNN, and of course the big networks and MSNBC and others. We've given up on the idea of having anything other than completely privatized sources of news. And if the Republicans have their way, this is only going to be worse because the Colin Powell's son, can't think
Michael
of his first
Powell.
Name,
Michael
Powell,
yeah.
Was championing the further deregulation of the FCC so that even bigger companies could have mass even greater influence on the sources of the news. So we have this situation where corporate interests are dominating the way in which the news is reported. And so what do you expect to happen? Of course that news will reflect the corporate interest. That's a given. Of course that is going to happen.
So
and so the question is, I think that this is the largest threat to the future of the country. And so what I would like to encourage our listeners to look into this. One way to do it is if you look on the leftout.info webpage, we have a link to this article from FAIR where they give the information you need to contact CBS and to complain about this. If you think that this is something to complain about, the thing to do is call them up or send them electronic mail. It'll just take a click and a typing in a few sentences to complain to CBS, and maybe we can persuade them to air it. But more generally, we're faced with a serious problem here.
Yeah. So, by the way, there was a news release from an organization called FAIR, and you can go to their website at www.fair.org. And they produce news reports like this one every week or so, and it's an excellent source of criticism of the media in general. But yeah, so I agree with what you're saying, and it's really scary how kind of more and more that this control of the news division is becoming more and more evident from the top, from the corporate over the years. And I think that the notion of independent news sections is, to the extent that it existed before, is pretty much vanishing at this point. I mean, 60 Minutes was one of the few mainstream news programs that actually had investigations of corporate malfeasance. It's one of the few. I mean, I can't think of any other show that actually does that.
Frontline.
Frontline on PBS.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and Bill Moyers.
Yeah.
On PBS. Which is that's another whole story about Bill Moyers, which that's in jeopardy as well. Bill Moyers is leaving after the election, and the show is being cut to only half the length. And then they're also adding a whole bunch of right-wing things like the Wall Street Journal has a editorial board has a show on there now.
Caving into corporate interests. Yeah, everything is corporate interest.
Things are going the wrong way. And my, you know, it's very discouraging and to see people so misinformed. And what I was just telling Bob walking over to the station earlier was, I don't see that changing. I don't see how it can change. The one thing that I think, the one little spark of hope is that more and more people will discover independent sources of news like Democracy Now! On WRCT or the other programming on WRCT or the various websites we've been mentioning all the time and stuff like that. That if people begin to actually get their news from these alternative, not non-corporate controlled sources, they might start to get a better idea of what's going on, and maybe things can change in the right direction.
Yeah, this goes back to our discussions about Fahrenheit 9/11 when it opened in June, that the scandal of the movie, pardon me, the scandal of the movie was really the fact that so many people who watched this movie came out of it saying, why didn't I know this? And to me, this is the point to bring home about Fahrenheit 9/11. I don't care whether you accept, Michael Moore's implication that, you know, that the Bush family's ties to the Saudi Arabians, in particular to the Bin Laden family, is relevant to the conduct of, to the attack in 9/11 and to the conduct of the Iraq war and so on. We can discuss that as a separate issue. The real issue is that the things that he's exposed have stood up under severe criticism as facts. These are demonstrable facts. You can put them together and draw your own conclusions, but these are facts. And the scandal of the movie is that people walk out of there saying, why didn't I know this? Is that true? Is that true?
Yeah.
And the answer is, it is true.
Right.
You know, now, what you conclude from it, that can be debated. But the fact is that these things are there. And are they reported on CBS? No. And also, if you look at recently, you know, the vilification of Dan Rather as supposedly an exponent of the liberal media is, of course, preposterous.
Yeah.
One of the points that comes out in Fahrenheit 9/11, in fact.
Oh, he said he would.
He proudly says he's going to bias the news. You know, when my country is at war, I'm going to be supporting them in every way.
If the president calls on me, I'll be the first to stand up or something like that.
Which is totally ridiculous. That is not the job of a journalist.
Yeah.
That is not the job of a journalist.
Well, he's not a journalist.
That's unbelievable. So this is the situation that we're facing in the contemporary American mass media.
Yeah, one other comment about this, which I think that this whole issue with the previous memos, which turned out to be probably fraudulent, that embarrassment.
You mean about the Niger?
The other ones. The Rather memos, whatever, they got so much flack for. I think that's going to be used as an excuse by Viacom, by the management, to either close down 60 Minutes or put a muzzle on it. I think they've been wanting to do this for a long time. This is one of the few shows left on mainstream media that actually has bite to it against the corporate.
There are two copies of 60 Minutes, right? I mean,
the Wednesday and the Sunday.
Right. Sunday one's been on for decades.
Yeah,
the Wednesday one. Do you really think that? I mean, it's a hugely popular program. Right, I mean,
they can increase the number of fluff pieces and push back the number of actual.
I can see them. I can see them emasculating it. You know, I can see that happening. I can see that happening very easily. You know, because God forbid you should do an investigative piece with great integrity that turns out to either be wrong or other evidence comes to light or whatever. You know, that's the other issue about this whole story. It's a little murky, I have to say. It seems like a shoddy piece of work by CBS, which is really too bad, because then it's used to denigrate all possible forms of
other things that they did right.
And so on.
Why don't we take a break and come back in a couple of minutes? Just one reminder of the phone number. It's 412-621-9728. And we'll be back in a minute.